Hello and welcome to another edition of Performance with me, Rupert Kirkham. You're listening to Froome FM. And today we feature music from a concert given by the local choir Froome Voices and their director of music, Alan Burgess. The concert was given at Christchurch on March the 19th, 2022. A few days later, I met up with Alan Burgess and began our discussion by asking him how he came to be in Froome.
Well, I'd read music at Edinburgh University and I'd begun my career as a teacher there, taught in two schools in Edinburgh. And then I suppose the ambition in me made me look for a promotion, and I was appointed to be the head of music at King Down School in Warminster. And when I arrived, I remember people in the staff room saying, well, you don't want to live in Warminster because you keep bumping into pupils who teach you, or who you teach.
Is that a bad thing?
Froome was presented as a very good option. And in fact, The head of English at the time described it as the cultural centre of the Southwest.
Would you apply that accolade to it now?
Well, I'm not sure, but it's a very busy, creative place. And in that sense, it's been an exciting place for me to live as a musician. I taught in various places. I spent 8 years as the deputy head at Selwood Middle School, as it was then. And ultimately, I ended up being the head teacher at St John's First School for 11 years. Mm. I enjoyed it, but I can remember my very first assembly, standing in front of the children and thinking, oh, goodness me, what have I done? And am I talking over their heads? I was literally talking over their heads. Mm. But it proved to be really lovely. Mm. And I have huge admiration for people who work with very young children. I think it's a very special skill.
Mm. At what point did music sort of take over from teaching?
I think of myself primarily as a teacher and secondly as a musician, though I trained in music. But once I started working in schools, I felt it was teaching was the thing that was most important to me. I suppose I've always been involved in music actively. I'm involved in it here in Christchurch in Froome. Very soon after my arrival in the area, I became the musical director of the Athenaeum Singers in Warminster, and I did that for 15 years. Mm. I've always been actively involved in music and in music in schools. And I found myself, Martin Bax approached me, and I became the musical director of the First Froome Festival when we mounted a great production, I thought, of Britain's opera Noah's Flood, which involved children across all of the Froome schools. It was a very exciting time. So it's always been there.
Well, we're here today to talk about and play extracts from a concert that you gave recently. Just tell us about Froome Voices, who are the choir involved.
Yes, so Froome Voices has existed for over 10 years now. And in 2012, I was approached by Jane Talbot and Olivia Date, who wanted to put on a performance of Messiah in Froome. And they were thinking about a performance of Messiah from scratch. And as we talked about it, I felt I'd love to do it, but I suggested we should have maybe four rehearsals. Our concept of it was to have a choir of people who'd sung Messiah many times before, but also maybe people who'd maybe once sung a few choruses at school, or who had always thought, I'd love to sing the Hallelujah chorus. And what was born was a choir where experienced singers mingle with less experienced singers who sort of piggyback on them, and it enables them to take part in exciting performances. And for me, I think one of the things I love most about directing choirs is enabling people who think, I couldn't possibly do that, at the end of the day, to think, goodness, I was part of that amazing performance. And so that's something that definitely drives me. Initially, we just met January, February, March, and put on concerts big concerts, first of all in Christchurch, but then as we grew in the Cheese and Grain, often with an orchestra and with professional soloists. And whereas, I suppose, if you're a member of a choral society, the expectation is that you'll meet weekly through the year, and, you know, whatever you sing, the members of the choir will be committed to that and they'll give it a go. But I suppose people dip in and out a bit of Froom Voices depending on the programme that we choose to sing.
It is quite a commitment to rehearse every week, isn't it? And then probably do two concerts a year.
It is, and I think that's the attraction of Froom Voices for lots of people. Maybe people who have a family and just think, well, actually, for a few months, we could manage that. It's just worked, I suppose. But we've been hit by the pandemic, and while we were staging concerts with over 100 singers at one time, when we re-emerged from the pandemic last autumn, we had 32 singers in our choir. We did a further concert, and we're going to be hearing music from that a bit later on, but that concert, which was in March, we set off with about 48 singers. But courtesy of COVID and various other factors, we ended up staging a concert with about 38 singers. So it alters the nature of the choir. But I'd like to feel that if you spoke to anybody who'd sung in the choir, that they'd say it was still an enjoyable experience.
Shall we have a listen to the first piece that you sang in the concert, which is by Benjamin Britten?
Yes.
Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, I love Britten's music. Maybe it's a bit of an acquired taste, but we sang two choruses from his opera Peter Grimes, and this is the first of them. It appears very early in the opera, and it's where the chorus in the opera is sitting on the quayside, mending fishing nets and just waking up in the morning light. And it's so cleverly written because there are very high notes in the accompaniment, which for me represent the sunrise. There are some gorgeous rippling semi-quaver notes, which for me is the sound of the sea as it ebbs and flows. And there are some underlying chords that appear, which are very sinister, and they're an ominous sound in terms of what's going to unfold in the course of the opera. And another reason for wanting to play this is the fact it features the playing of Liz Koslovsky, who is our accompanist and has been for many years now. She's a great pianist and a very fine accompanist, and she's a very important part of the success of our choir.
Oh, and those I met.
That was a chorus from Benjamin Britten's Peter Grimes opera, but the main piece was by Elgar. Before we get into the Elgar, tell us a little bit about what your feelings are about music in schools at the moment, because it's been quite controversial over the last few years about how perhaps how little music is now being practiced in schools.
I think that was partly a factor in my giving up headship, in that I felt at a national level the concern was all about raising standards in English and maths in particular, which, of course, I concur with. But it was at the expense of things that I think make life really enriching for all of us, such as the arts especially. And their position in schools has definitely been eroded. And that's very evident when you look at the number of people who are staffed as musicians in schools. For example, in Froome College, it's not so long ago there were two members of staff in the music department, and there is now just one. And Josh Hampson is director of music there. He's a great musician, real enthusiast. The students are very, very well served there by him, but it's just him, and that is very, very limiting in terms of what you can achieve.
I wanted to move on to the Elgar now from the concert that you gave in March. This is an interesting piece, and it's sort of written on holiday, wasn't it?
It's, yes, there are six songs. They're a bit like six picture postcards, really. When Edward Elgar and his wife Alice went on holiday to the Bavarian Highlands. So these are six songs from the Bavarian Highlands. And if I just briefly outline what each of them is about. The first is called Dance. It's very much an invitation to dance. It's almost maybe an equivalent of some sort of barbecue and hoedown, really, but a Bavarian version of it. Then there's probably my favourite song, the second song, which is called False Love, where the main character in the story finds his beloved in the arms of another. There's a lullaby, which features a lovely solo line for the altos, and also it's got a piano accompaniment that would stand on its own, really, as a piano piece. Aspiration, the fourth song, paints a sort of snowy scene. It's slightly religious. Elgar was a devout Roman Catholic, but these are very much six secular songs, I'd say. On the Arm, the fifth song, involves a lot of parts, four-part singing, where the tenors and basses in the choir are divided. And the last song is called The Marksman and is about hunt. It's very fast-moving, and you see the choir looking at you when you say, we're going to do it this quickly, and they think, oh, we can't possibly sing it that quickly. But I hope listeners will agree that actually, when they've heard it, they managed it.
Oh, my God.
So that was Elgar's Six Songs from the Bavarian Highlands, written on his holiday with his wife, Alice. We're going to end with a quintessentially English composer, Parry, Hubert Parry. He wrote, of course, some of the best-known choral pieces for church choirs. This one is not a church piece, really. Tell us about it.
Yes, this is Blessed Pair of Sirens, a setting of a text by Milton. And for me, it's a really good example of word setting, in that the text really does fire how he sets the music. So there are discordant moments when the text refers to discord and so on. And the end is quite a sort of glorious, warm English sound about renewing a song and about, I suppose, being at peace with yourself, really. We were joined for this concert by Matthew Redman, who is a local organist. He's actually the organist at St John's in Glastonbury. And it was the first time we'd worked with him, and that was a really lovely experience for us. So we had a mix of piano and organ accompaniment for the choir. And it's always good to perform music in Christchurch in Frome. It has such a great acoustic, and it's understandable why so many local musicians like to use the church.
Before we hear that, and before we leave you, I just wanted to ask, if people are interested in joining this choir, how do they do that, and what have you got coming up next, and when?
Well, the exciting thing to say is that I have no idea what's coming up next. We traditionally performed in March time and then added in some smaller scale autumn concerts. And we are still, as I said, emerging from COVID, but I guess we would expect that we would be performing again in the autumn, in which case we would let people know what we were going to do in the press in June, July time, and then probably start rehearsing in the middle of September. We have a very, very good website. I'm a total technophobe, but fortunately, Liz Kozlowski, our accompanist pianist, is not, and she has designed the most fantastic website. So if you Google Frome Voices, you will find our website, and it's kept up to date very well with information about what we've done. There's a great archive page in it, I think, which just shows the posters that we have had for our concerts, and it's quite a splash. And it shows the sorts of music that we do, which is really wide-ranging.
And you are open for new members?
We are very open for new members. We're very fortunate this time around. We had a very, very well-balanced choir, actually. Very often choirs are on the lookout for tenors and basses, and I'm sure that's still the case. But in fact, the sound we had was very well-balanced. Mm. I'd really love to see some more of our previous singers coming back. Some have obviously been apprehensive, anxious with the pandemic about, and we'd very much like to see you again next time around.
Well, Alan Burgess, thank you very much for talking to us. And we're going to leave you with Hubert Parry's Blessed Pair of Sirens, sung by Frome Voices back in March 2022.